Tonight we come to a part of spiritual warfare that I, for many, many years, knew nothing about, heard nothing about, never heard a sermon, never heard a teaching, I guess, until I heard Derek Prince teach. Derek died about a year ago. I would rank Derek Prince as, I'd be the best Bible teacher I ever heard. He died in his early 80s here about a year ago. And then I began to study the scripture in regard to it. And so tonight I want to share with you things that you may not realize, most people don't, that have to do with generational or ancestral bondage. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 5. And verse 7, chapter 5 and verse 7. Our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have borne their iniquities. It is you and I who have borne the iniquities or the sins of our fathers. Then go with me to the New Testament. In Galatians, Paul speaks in Galatians chapter 3 of another thing that it took me many years to realize. By the way, you cannot understand the Old Testament without the New, and you can't understand the New Testament without the Old. It's extremely important. It's very foolish to say that the New Testament is a higher revelation and forget about the Old Testament. For example, in the book of Hebrews, you could not possibly interpret the book of Hebrews without the Old Testament. Now, I want to go back and forth tonight between the Old and New Testament. I'll be in the Old Testament more because the Old Testament does tell us more about generational bondage. But now Paul speaks of something about the faith. And so in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, start with verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God and was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, Exodus 6 says that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came to know God as El Shaddai, which is a provider God, who is a provider God, but they did not know him yet as Yahweh, which is translated in English, Lord. And so, when the first covenant that was given before the covenant of the law was given, the covenant of faith was given. And in Genesis 14, 15, 16, 17, you have God speaking to Abram. He was not yet Abraham. See the holy H of Yahweh, our Elohim, was placed into Abram's name when he gave all of his life for, in return, all of God's life, and by faith believed that he could come into that blood covenant and that he could have a son. They couldn't have a son physically, but he could have a son and descendants as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. And then we, in Christ, come to believe the same faith. We are attached to the same tree of faith. So all blessing, we're going to be talking about curse tonight, all blessing is as a result of entering into the blessing that God the Father spoke to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. And then when Adam and Eve sinned, we were separated from that blessing and separated from that life. And then after we sinned, then the blood of the animal, symbolic of the blood of Jesus to come, and then Jesus comes, and then the blood of Jesus is sacrificed, then we can believe Jesus and come back into that life, come back into covenant, and come back into blessing. So, the first covenant, and Abraham entered into it, and you see, Abraham was righteous when he believed it. Not until he hadn't received the results of it yet, but the moment he believed it, he was righteous. You see, this is a key to all of our faith life. God wants us to believe. before we see. That's faith. That's faith. We believe. I mean, we know that we know under the anointing of the Spirit of God, we know before we see. That's the basis of all blessing. That's the basis of your being saved. It's the basis of being healed. It's the basis of being delivered. It's the basis of all blessing. There's thousands of blessings in the Scripture. He wants to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. He doesn't want to curse you, curse you. He wants to bless you, bless you. But curse will fall if certain things, well, basically, if you don't obey. Now, verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, so we are attached to the tree of Abram when we believe by faith. Praise God that we Gentiles and the rest of us, besides the Jews, got in on this. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. All the peoples in the world would be blessed by the faith that Abram had. Called out of Ur of the Chaldees, didn't even know where he was going, and went. 100 years old, Sarah 90 years old, you're going to have descendants of the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. And Abraham believed God, and Sarah believed God. I mean, no wonder that it was accounted righteousness to them. I think Abram is one of the greatest men of faith, because he's kind of the one who leads us into this covenant of faith. See, the covenant of faith was instituted before the covenant of the law. Now, the covenant of the law that God gave had a purpose. And you have to understand the covenant of the law if you're to understand generational bondage and what it really is. And so that's why I started. I was going to leave this out, and the Lord said, no, don't leave this out. I want you to talk about this Galatians passage. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now, I didn't realize for years the law. What was the purpose of the giving of the law? We're going to go back there in just a moment. We're going to go back to the giving of the Ten Commandments, because that's the key to tonight's teaching. But I didn't realize for years that when the law was given, that brought every person who would hear the law under a curse if they did not obey the law. The Ten Commandments brought a curse. They defined sin. Sin was not defined. Paul says in Romans that before the giving of the law, people were judged by what was written on their hearts. But once the giving of the law and people come to know that law and to know that Jesus is the fulfillment of that law. Remember, he said not one jot or tittle of the law will be changed. I am a fulfillment of the law. Not a contradiction to the law, but a fulfillment of the law. But the reason the Ten Commandments are a curse is that the method of the law is what I try to do for God, and I try to live up to this, and I try to live up to this, and I try to live up to this, and I struggle in my own flesh trying, and my own mind and my own spirit trying to live up to the law, and I can't live up to that law. But by faith, I can receive Jesus, who died for my sins and died for the violation of each one of those Ten Commandments. So I enter in by faith, and by faith I receive that life, and I'm no longer under a curse, but praise God, He's become the curse. Amen. He's become the curse. And praise God, I get the blessing because I get His life. You gotta understand, Jesus became a curse to take the curse of the law off of us as we enter into the life of Jesus by faith. Verse 11, no, now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. You can't be justified before the law of God. It's an awesome law.
And by the way, for example, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, if you in your mind, or not, thou shalt not murder, if in your mind you are angry enough to kill, that's a violation of the law. No wonder we can't possibly fulfill the law. For the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And for every curse that comes against us, every bondage that you are in tonight, if you are in any bondage, Jesus came. Because bondage is a result of the curse of the law and the violation of the law. And bondage comes into your life because of this. And Jesus has come to set you free. He took every curse. He took every accusation. He took your sin. He took your sickness. I mean, sickness is a part of the curse of the law. He took it all. Praise God. I mean, He took it all. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, the life of God. By faith we could enter into the life that Abraham received as he gave all of his life, and God said, all of my life you will receive. What a bargain. All of God's life we receive. Now, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith, the Holy Spirit, the life, see, the Holy Spirit brings the life of the Father and the life of the Son into us. And through the death that He died, He became that curse, took the curse of hell, delivered into hell, delivered out, and won the victory, won the total victory that Satan tries to bring on us. Now, turn back to the giving of the Ten Commandments. See, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Now this is an awesome moment in history. The giving of the Ten Commandments. And I've mentioned this before, but let me mention it again. The giving of the Ten Commandments is the first Pentecost. The Jews understand this, we Christians don't. But the Jew, the Orthodox Jew, believing Jew, understood that the giving of the Ten Commandments was the first Pentecost. Penta meaning 50th. In the New Testament, on the 50th day after Jesus was raised from the grave, the Holy Spirit was outpoured at Pentecost, where everyone by faith could receive the baptizing power of the Holy Spirit, and the life of God could come in fullness and flow. In the Old Testament, Moses brought the children of Israel to lead the children of Israel out of bondage to sin, Passover. Then came through the Red Sea, and this is the Feast of First Fruits on the third day. On the third day, Jesus is the first of fruits of them who rose from the grave on the third day. But on the third day, they came through the Red Sea. They came into the land. They came into the land of the promise of the life of the Spirit. Then, on the 47th day, Moses came to the base of Mount Sinai. Then on the 50th day, he went up to the top of the mountain. And the mountain shook, and the trumpets were blowing. And there was fire, and there was lightning, and the people were afraid. And then we pick up the story in chapter 20, verse 1. Then Elohim. This is the Hebrew word for God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. God the Father who is covered with the Son and the Spirit bring life and blessing. All life and blessing is inside covenant. All curse in the generations is outside covenant. When you come outside covenant life. That's why the Ten Commandments, when you are outside of covenant life for Jesus, and Jesus is the only way inside covenant life. Jesus is the only way inside covenant life. To believe Jesus is the only way inside covenant life. And that's why a covenant life or a life outside of the covenant is a curse, and that's why the Ten Commandments become a curse. That's why the Ten Commandments bring a curse on the generations and on the fathers of the generations. Because any sin not covered by the blood, now or in the generations, 20 generations, 30 generations, right back to the beginning, anything not covered by the blood, covered by the blood of Jesus by faith, passed on, down through the generations. See, we don't understand covenant. That's why we don't understand generational bondage. We do not understand covenant. No, well, there's no question we don't understand covenant when the rate of divorce is as high or higher among Christians than it is among pagans. Because marriage on the earth is a representation of two becoming one. And it's a representation that God is the God of covenant. He is Elohim, who is covenanted with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to bring life. And a man and a woman come together in this life, and then they produce physical life, and that is blessing. And the more children you have, the more blessed you are. Inside covenant. Inside covenant. In the generations. This is why the family was always the first institution that God ordained. And whenever family, the covenant in families is broken, then the nation will be eventually broken. The people will be eventually broken. I am, verse 2, Yahweh, the great I am that I am. He has no beginning and he has no end. And by the way, this is the first time in Exodus 6 says that he did not reveal himself, as I quoted before, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I did not reveal myself as Yahweh, but I revealed myself as Yahweh to Moses. And who is Yahweh? The awesome I am that I am. He has no beginning. He has no end. He's holy. We couldn't even approach his holiness and his awesomeness. The Hebrews wouldn't even pronounce the name Yahweh. They would say Adonai. Because the name was so holy. So, he is Yahweh, your Elohim, covenant-keeping God, who through Jesus will bring you into life and you'll get blessed. And he brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery or bondage. Out of the house of slavery or bondage. Now listen, I'm going to go quickly through the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments, what you have to understand is that the first four are how we love God, and the second six are how we love our fellow men. And the love commandment is the only way to fulfill the covenant of God through the power of the Holy Spirit by believing in faith. So that we don't have to fulfill any of the thou shalt nots. Jesus has fulfilled it. He became a curse. He took the sin. He took all of the judgment upon himself. If we will believe by faith, the Holy Spirit comes and saves us. We don't have the life of God unless the Holy Spirit comes. But as many received him, to them became a power. He gave him the power to become the sons of God. I have to receive his life, not just believe in my mind. Christianity is not an intellectual proposition. Amen. You do have to believe the truth, but it is not an intellectual proposition. Yes, you have to believe the truth, but you have to receive the truth. And only then will the life of God come in you and you're born again. And then he wants you to baptize you in the Holy Spirit of God. So you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be filled with his life, and his life can begin to flow out from you. And when life flows out from you, it's Jesus' life, and Jesus' life will get people saved, and Jesus' life will get people healed, and Jesus' life will get people delivered, and Jesus' life will witness, and Jesus' life will provide, and Jesus will bless people, and you'll not be blessing them. Jesus will be blessing them through you. My goodness. Praise God. I mean, Jesus can bless someone through me. Through you. And he wants to. Now, you shall have no other gods before me. Now notice how he starts out. And by the way, he mentions the generational curse right after he mentions, you shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself an idol. So these are the primary ways we must worship God and love God. We must have no other small g god. And in the ancient world, the names of the stars were the names of the gods, small g, the pagan gods. And all of the Babylonian system that I've talked about before, we had that series on Babylon versus Christ, all of that Babylonian system, they worship, and right down to today, they worship these small g gods,
And the Bible says behind every small g god is a demon. So when you're worshiping any other god than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, the only way to God the Father is through Jesus, Yeshua, meaning Yahweh is salvation. He is the only one who is salvation. And in that covenant, you will be blessed. Outside of that covenant, curse will come on you. And will come on your generations. And will be passed down to you if you don't know how to cover it. And believe. It's not unfair of God. It's just that we don't know the Word. We think God is unfair. We think we know. We don't know the Word. We don't know what the Word teaches. I mean, God has made it clear if we read His Word. There's no excuse for you and I as Americans. There is no excuse for us. We have the Word of God. We won't study it. We won't let God speak to us. I mean, you just can't study it casually. And expect it. And this is why I'm teaching on this. But listen, when you get this, and this is why we're making CDs. When you get this, you need to get this in your own heart and in your own mind. So that this can be a part of you. No other gods and no idols. Because you see, you are to worship only the Creator, and the only Creator is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Every other God, Muslim God, the Buddhist God, the Hindu God, every other God is created. Satan himself is created. The demons are created. They're fallen angels. They were created as angels. Satan was created as an angel. He fell. He rebelled. God is a jealous God. A holy God, a jealous God. He made you in His image and He sent His Son to die. And He wants you to receive it. And He wants you to receive life and blessing. Why won't you receive life and blessing? Verse 4. You shall not make yourself an idol, nor likeness of what is in heaven above, and the earth beneath, the water and up. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, on the children, to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. The sin, when you violate worshiping other gods, you do not worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, who has blessed you, Jesus being the only way into this covenant life, where He wants to bless you, bless you, bless you. You'll be outside of covenant, and you'll be cursed, cursed, cursed. Now let me go just quickly. In each case, in each of the commandments, the sin of these commandments, the coming outside of covenant and not believing Jesus, who took the curse for each one of these commandments, that is a curse when we try to fulfill them, but Jesus fulfilled them. He became the curse. And so when we believe Jesus and follow Jesus and follow in covenant and receive His life and the life of the Holy Spirit, then we don't have to be under any curse. We'll be under blessing. We'll be under blessing. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your Elohim in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. That word vain means to take his name as if it means nothing. It's not just to swear. That's bad enough. Yes, when you use profane language, when you use to hear the language, I can't hear, I can't watch, I don't want to watch any movie or any television program. I will not listen. I will not listen. I will not listen. Don't listen. Don't listen. Don't get used to hearing profanity. Don't get used to hearing profane language. Don't get used to hearing the use of God, taking it in vain, because His name is not useless. It is Yahweh our Elohim. It's the salvation of God. This is the name of God. Is who God is. Holy, awesome, righteous. He has no beginning. He has no end. And Yeshua, the name of Jesus, means Yahweh is salvation. The fullness of salvation. The fullness of blessing. Breaking every curse off of us. Don't take His name in vain. He is also Elyon. He is the God who possesses all things and who has defeated Satan. Hallelujah. Abram came to realize he was Elyon, and he said, I realize, Lord, You possess all things. I won't take a shoelace from this conquering. My army has conquered this and brought back and got all that all that conquering, all that conquered goods. I won't take a shoelace because God, I'll give you a tithe because the tithe means that you own everything. You possess everything. By the way, private property is all right as long as you understand that private property is you are a steward of what God owns. And you're a steward down here. But God owns it. Don't take his name in vain. Elyon Eloah. And Eloah is the God who constantly intervenes on the earth. I don't know about you, but God has intervened in my life many times. I mean, God is... You know, remember when he's intervened and praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Hallelujah. Don't take his name and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, why did he want us to rest for that seventh day? And we can have it the first day. Christians can have it the first day. That's all right. Why did he want us to rest that seventh day? Because what he's trying to teach us is we need to rest from our labors every day of our life to enter into the Sabbath rest of Jesus. Because if we understood who God is in covenant and what the life he has put in us, we would understand that we can't accomplish anything. And when we try to accomplish something, we limit God. But when we believe God, and know what he has accomplished in heaven and let it flow through us, we will be blessed, blessed, blessed. And blessing will flow through us. And life will flow through us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Honor your father and your mother. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. Supposing you have a father that was abusive. Supposing you have a mother that was abusive. Supposing you have a father or a mother that abandoned. This happens all the time now. You can honor them by praying for them. By praying that God will convict them. By praying against the demon bondage of hell in their lives. So they will repent. People won't repent often until bondage is broken. You need to pray to know what, do you have a father and mother that was not what all they should be? You can still honor them by believing, by praying, by coming against the things that are holding them. If you have a good Christian mother and father, you are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed. Praise God, praise God. I praise God every day for my mother and father who I believe are in heaven. And for Marilyn's mother and father who I believe are in heaven. Because we should continue to honor them. You shall not murder. Abortion in America. Why is our land filled with violence? Because we legally allow and say it's constitutional and it's an abomination that the Supreme Court of the United States in Roe versus Wade claimed that there is a constitutional right to murder children. Because it is murder. It is deliberately because God knows every child in the womb. They are life. That is life. The moment the sperm and the egg come together, that is life. And the chromosomal structure and the structure of that child is as complex as it will ever be. The moment the sperm and the egg unite, come together. What appears to be growth is not growth in the actual structure of life. Because God brings life. Sex doesn't bring life. God brings life. You shall not commit adultery. Now we're going to see here in a moment that there is a special curse because adultery, sexual relationships outside the covenant of marriage are cursed. Every type of sexual relationship outside of marriage is cursed. It brings death and destruction. And there is a reason. I'll come later to a place in the later part of in Deuteronomy, where we'll see that God says there is a more serious curse, because sex is also a sin against our own body. Sexual relationship outside the covenant of marriage is not only a sin against someone else; it is a sin against our own body, and our own body is made in the image of God. And your body is not yours. It belongs to God. Your body, your mind, your spirit, it belongs to God. But your body belongs to God. You don't have a right to use it.
and you were arrogant and vain. In fact, every single worship of the god, small g, the demon worship, always inevitable, people, inevitable. There is always sexual immorality in the worship of these other gods. Always. You shall not steal. Now, I said before, property. Really, what you're doing when you're stealing, you're taking from someone, you're taking from what is God's gift to that person. You're stealing from God. You shall not bear false witness. The devil is the father of lies, and lies are the key to all bondage. We would not be in bondage if we believed the truth of the Word of God and acted on the truth of the Word of God, but it's lies that based on, and you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your male servant, female servant, ox, donkey, anything that belongs to your neighbor. It's his. You shall not covet. Now, all of this, when you come outside this and are not in the life of God, it brings curse. Numbers 14, 18. Numbers 14, 18. Yahweh is slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, forgiveness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. That's why I pray with people for bondage, generational bondage. I like to cover with the blood of Jesus in the generations all of the sin and all of the violations of the Ten Commandments in the generations. Then if God shows me some specific sin that is very powerful in the generations, we come against that individually. Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23. Verse 2. Now here's where sexual bondage, there is an indication of a longer curse. No one of illegitimate birth. About one-third of the births in the United States are illegitimate. I don't know what it is worldwide. No one of illegitimate birth shall enter the assembly of the Lord, none of his descendants, even to the tenth generation. The tenth generation shall enter the assembly of the Lord. No Ammonite or Moabite shall enter the assembly of the Lord. None of their descendants, even to the tenth generation, shall enter the assembly of the Lord because they did not meet you. Now we're talking about the Ammonites and the Moabites. They were into terrible sexual sin. All of the people there in Palestine surrounding the people of Israel were into all kinds of abominable, worst kinds of sexual sin you can imagine. Bestiality, I mean, all kinds of perverted sexual sin. Because they did not meet you with food and water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam. Now, I've talked about the curse of Balaam. Let me mention just one thing again. I'm not going over all that again that I talked about before. But Balaam was an occult. He could cast spells and he could break curses and he could, of course, when an occultist breaks a curse, it's at the bond, some other bondage. See, the witch doctors in Haiti, I've been there going back in June, praise God, Lord willing. But, they put curses on people and they will break curses off people, but it's always at the cost of bondage. They deal with black and white magic, but actually black and white magic. Black's supposed to be bad and white's supposed to be good. It's all of Satan. It's not God. It's not the Holy Spirit. And he was an occultist. They hired Balaam, the Ammonites and the Moabites hired Balaam, the son of Beor, Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Nevertheless, the Yahweh your Elohim was not willing to listen to Balaam. He intervened. And Yahweh your Elohim turned the curse into a blessing because the Lord your God loves you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Every curse
can be turned into a blessing. If you're under any curse tonight, hey, Jesus can change it into a blessing. Praise God. You don't have to be worried. I'm going to go through a list here that in a moment in Deuteronomy 28 that that will indicate some of the areas that you often find curse in the generations. But praise God. I mean, Jesus came, became a curse so that the Lord your God can turn that curse because of Jesus into a blessing because he loves you. I remind you, by the way, that the curse of Balaam, even though he couldn't curse the children of Israel, the whole nation, he was able to bring this kind of a curse in the church, I don't have time to tell you about Korah and the rebellion of Korah, by the way, he was a priest, and he rebelled against God and did not follow God, and the earth opened up and swallowed him and all his family. And they were into this curse of Balaam, and it was in the church in Ephesus. It was in the church in Thyatira. And Jezebel, the New Testament Jezebel, she was into this. She was into this. The curse of Balaam is a curse that causes compromise to come inside the church, particularly sexual immorality inside the church. There it is again. Sexual immorality. Anything is sexual immorality. Sexually immoral, anything that's sex outside the covenant of marriage. Now, I want to... I prepared this afternoon because I was rereading Derek Prince's book, Curse and Blessing. Recommend it to you. It's in paperback. Curse and Blessing. And I came to a chapter... that said, there are seven areas particularly that curse operates, and curse here operates often in the generations. Now, a curse can operate and not be generational, but more often a curse like this will be operating through the generations. You need to pray for both or get leadership from the Lord. When I pray for deliverance, I ask the Lord, Lord, are we dealing with something that is generational? And you have to have the Holy Spirit speaking to you here so that you can, because you can't, just because a certain type of sin, you can't be certain that it's generational or that it, but whatever it is, you need to be delivered from it. And so he divides it up into seven types of curses. And they often are generational. And what I did this afternoon, I just went through Deuteronomy 28, and I found some verses. I didn't even mark their numbers down. I just found, these are all from Deuteronomy 28. And so I just put down quotations from Deuteronomy 28 about this category of bondage and curse. First, mental and emotional breakdown. Mental and emotional breakdown. And not just insanity here. Nervous breakdown, insanity, could be obsessive fear that people can't even operate, they can't even move, but a breakdown mentally and emotionally. And this affects our heart and our soul. The soul is the seat of our mind and our will and our emotions. This affects our soul. The heart is the center of our spirit and our soul. When the Bible talks about heart, it's not the blood pump. It's the center of our being. We are spirit and we are soul. And we've defined that before. I won't do that again. Here are a couple of quotations from Deuteronomy 28. The Lord will send on you curses and confusion, mental confusion. This is because of the violation of covenant in the generations, or for you. You shall be oppressed and crushed continually. You shall be driven mad. I had to come against this kind of bondage in our family. My grandmother's sister hung herself from a register. I remember as a little boy, they showed us where Aunt Noni hung herself. And they said she was crazy.
I don't think they institutionalized her. My mother's sister, Irene, was depressed all of her life. But towards the end of her life, she had to be institutionalized. And she tried to commit suicide 3 different times. She stayed in our house one time. You would not believe what she was speaking in the middle of the night in a bedroom up here. I don't know. I don't think she knew that demons were speaking. She was cursing God. But demons were speaking through her. Praise God, she did receive freedom 10 years before she died. Something happened just a few months before she died. She got back into bondage. I don't know what happened. But you've got to come against, if there is in your family mental and emotional breakdown, you've got to come against that. If it's in your life, you need to cover the generations. 2, the second category. Repeated and chronic sickness, constantly being sick. Weak, sick constantly. This is usually hereditary. This is usually from the generations. Here are some quotations from Deuteronomy 28. These are all in that section from verse 15 to about verse 40, where it describes the curses that come upon you when you violate covenant and when your fathers violate covenant or your mothers. The plague will cling to you until it consumes you. Sickness will strike you, consumption, fever, and by the sword until you perish. Boils and tumors from which you cannot be healed. Listen, the cancer plague that is on America is not just a medical problem, people. Cancer is from the pit of hell. It is a curse of death right over there. Right over there. A different couch, but right where you're sitting. A man who had been into homosexuality for 20 years fell on the floor as we praised God. That night we took him in there, he was delivered from that curse. Later he got cancer and it was going up his spine and they were going to operate in Louisville. But they didn't know what they could do because they knew they couldn't get it all because it was intertwined within his spine. We prayed over him. It was one of the only times I've seen, there's only about 2 or 3 times I've seen cancer instantaneously healed. And we were praying over him, and we came against that, and there were 4 of us, there were 2 Haitian pastors, both baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember Preval Florial and William Bertrand. I remember them very well. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit here. And we were praying over them, him. And he said, these are his exact words, "I felt evil go out of me." He didn't say cancer. He said, "I felt evil go out of me." He went back to the Louisville surgeon. He had no cancer. Other key words: incurable, fearful, prolonged. Chronic sickness. 3. The third type: barrenness and the tendency to miscarry and female problems. Barrenness and the tendency to miscarry and female problems. Here's the key verse. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. And so if there is a tendency, you need to pray to break. By the way, if there is sexual sin, that needs to be repented of. And that needs to be broken. Particularly if there's illegitimacy. By the way, Dr. Martin, who is a family physician that I go to in Lancaster, is a Christian, and I like Dr. Martin, and but he told me about attending a medical conference at UK. And there were medical doctors from the United States and from the foreign countries. And there was a doctor from Britain there who said, we are seeing babies born now in Britain. We've seen several where their entire abdomen is open. It's not even covered with skin. It's just open from almost here on down. And so he said, we've seen several examples of this. A doctor at UK got up and said, we've seen 5 examples in the last month in Kentucky. Incest. Incest is one of the most important causes of birth defects. But sexual sin, taking drugs, alcohol, sexual sin is disforming our children. It's a curse. It needs to be broken. 4, the breakdown of marriage and family alienation. The breakdown of marriage. You know, I've often said, well, what's this plague of divorce? It is a curse on America, and it's a curse around the world. You will marry a wife, and another will lay with her. Your sons and your daughters will not be yours, and your sons and your daughters will go into captivity. Captive to all kinds of drugs and sex, and captive to sin. 5, continual financial need and poverty. Continual financial need and poverty. Here are a couple of quotations from Deuteronomy 28. Your basket and your kneading bowl is cursed. The produce of your land is cursed. The offspring of your flocks is cursed. I'll turn your land to powder. You ever see the transformation film? Central American country, and I think it might have been, I'm not sure which country it was. Do you remember Guatemala? I think it might have been Guatemala. And they got deliverance for an entire community. I mean, the demon powers were strong over that community, and all the Christians got together, and they prayed, and all of them joined together. They prayed day after day, through the night. I mean, they all joined together to break the demon curses over land. See, there are curses over the land. This land, Kentucky, the land of Kentucky, the Indians used this land to bury their dead. This is one of the reasons Dr. Martin told me that Kentucky leads the nation in deaths due to heart attack and deaths due to cancer. The rate, not the total, but the rate per person is higher than the deaths due. We lead the nation in deaths due to cancer and heart attack. There's a curse on the land that needs to be broken. The Indians cursed the land. It was called Bloody Land. Kentucky was called Bloody Land. We need to break the curse of poverty. I mean, God promises prosperity. In fact, when I close tonight, I want to read the blessings that God wants to give you. I want to read the blessings that God wants to give you. Some of this is a little bit somber. But I mean, I want to read the blessings that God wants to give you. A 6, being accident prone. Being accident prone. Now, Derek Prince says, and I agree with him, he says it's only hinted at. No direct statement in Deuteronomy 28, but it does say you will grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. And then lastly, 7, a history of suicide or unnatural or untimely death. See, this is the ultimate. This is the ultimate thing. This is the ultimate curse. The purpose of curse for Satan is to bring people to death and destruction. Here are some quotations. Sickness will pursue you until you die.
The Lord will send curses and confusion and rebuke you until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly. Now, Deuteronomy 28, verses 45 and 46. So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God, Yahweh your Elohim, and they shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever. Your descendants forever. You've got to break these things. You've got to take authority. I'm going to close on what you need to do. What you need to do. Deuteronomy 28, 59 and 60. Then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, and he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt which you feared. By the way, the Lord promises in Exodus that if we will follow God and follow the will of God, that Yahweh Rapha, the Lord your doctor, will heal you. That's his nature. I love to say, as maybe you've heard me say, there is no Hebrew name for the Lord our disease giver. That's not his nature. He allows these curses to come. See, when it says the Lord curses, the Lord allows the enemy to bring these, really. The Lord allows it, and so it's the Lord who does it in one sense, because he allows it. God, Satan couldn't do anything if the Lord didn't allow it, but he wouldn't allow it if we were not, had not broken covenant. So, what's the answer? I'm going to give you 7 steps to close. 7 steps to freedom. And so, let me give them to you. Confess all sin. Confess all sin. Now, if you know the sins of your ancestors, confess them. You may not know them. Therefore, when you pray, when someone prays over you and the Lord gives someone the word about your ancestors were into this, let me tell you that one of the things, in fact, I should have said that a key to curse is, and this is not in Deuteronomy 28, but remember when we looked at the Babylonian system and we talked about witchcraft and divination and sorcery? Well, you will always, always be under curse, and it will usually be demonization. If your ancestors or you were into witchcraft or divination or sorcery, because these are 3 direct satanic activities. And witchcraft, remember we said, is where the enemy uses demons to bring curses on people. Cursed people will die under these curses. It is to oppress our spirit man, witchcraft. They had special priests. The witch doctors in Haiti would put special curses on people. I prayed with a young man whose friend they put a curse on. He was in a Satan worship group in America. This is in America. They put a curse on this boy, his friend, and he died. And this boy was afraid that if he tried to leave the covens, that he would die. And so we prayed over him to break this curse of witchcraft, and this curse that came against him. Then divination, remember, is that sin where you have fortune telling, where you have astrology, where you are predicting the future, but it's not God. And hypnotism, and there are a number of things in divination. Whenever people are into this, I prayed with people who had the power of clairvoyance. And it came through the generation. I remember a young girl out at the Ictus when it was out here at the campgrounds. And she knew things that were going to happen, but they were all tragic. Someone was going to die. Someone was going to have an accident. And they happened. And it was a spirit of clairvoyance that came through an aunt, that came through, and that had to be broken. And then sorcery is, remember, enchantment with drugs, music, and sex. Control the body. Alcoholism, long-term alcoholism, that's a drug. And long-term alcoholism that passed through the generations, you're going to have to come up against a demon power. Now, you have to know from the Lord. Certain sexual sin, homosexuality, the guy I was telling you about, he had been in it long enough, there was a demon in him. Not all homosexuals have demons in them. It's obsessive conduct, and there's a bondage in the mind, and then it controls their sex life too. But I mean, a demon can come in, and that can be passed through the generation. Drugs. When people get into mind-bending drugs, there is always, the demons always are invited in. And they come through the generations. And so confess all of that sin. Secondly, repent. That means turn around and renounce it and say, I'm through with it. I will not have anything to do with it. I'm sorry that my father or my mother or my grandfathers or anyone in my generations, I'm sorry that this happened, Lord. I repent of it. And then forgive. Third step is of forgiveness is all these are really very important, and you must forgive. You cannot be delivered from any bondage, generational bondage, bondage you have now. You cannot be delivered from bondage successfully until you forgive every single person. I mean, totally, wholly forgive. Forgiveness is required. You cannot come to the altar until you forgive. Fourthly, take authority. Luke 10:19, we have authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, going right back to the beginning of the generation. And in our life today, we have authority. We will judge the angels, people. We're going to be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We have been, see, Jesus had the authority, but He's our head and He's up there waiting for us, waiting to come down, and He's saying, come on people, take authority. You're one with me, I'm your head. I'm covering you, my blood covers, take authority. Now don't take authority until you are delivered from every type of fear. Don't take authority until you're delivered from every type of fear. But we've got to begin to take authority. And then break all word accusations and curses that are in the generations. I think I'll have a Christmas message on December 11th. By the way, we will not meet the next two Saturdays. Next Saturday, it'll be Thanksgiving weekend. And then the following Saturday, December 4th, is Wilmore Christmas. And so we will not meet until December 11th, and we'll have a Christmas celebration of some kind, I guess. I'll probably talk about the Christmas story. But you need to break all accusations and curses. Now, this one is really important, and I want to go back to Deuteronomy 28 and read rapidly here. You've got to praise God continually and praise God for how He has brought you blessing. He wants to bless you. You break these curses, but He wants to bless you. We read it. He wants to break the curses, but through Jesus, He wants to bless you. Listen. And all the blessings shall come upon you, and they'll overtake you. They will overtake you. You won't have to run to get it. They'll overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God, Yahweh your Elohim. Blessed you shall be in the city. Blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be your offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts and the increase of your herd and your young flock. And blessed you shall your basket be and your kneading bowl. And blessed you shall be when you come in. And blessed when you shall be when you go out. And Yahweh will cause your enemies to rise up against you to be defeated before you. And they shall come out against you one way, and they'll flee before you seven ways. And Yahweh will command a blessing upon you and in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land, and the Lord God, Yahweh your Elohim, gives you. Yahweh will establish you as a holy people to himself. He'll establish you as holy. Holy. You can't be holy. He will make you holy with his life. If you will keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, and walk in his ways, so all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. Full of love, full of joy, prospering, protected, anointed. And they shall be afraid of you. And Yahweh will make you abound in prosperity, and the offspring of your body, you bless your children. And the offspring of your beasts, even your animals, you've got to bless. And of the produce of your ground and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you, and Yahweh will open for you the good storehouse, the heavens, to give you rain to your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. See, you're not supposed to borrow. God's supposed to provide. And Yahweh shall make you the head, not the tail. And you shall be above, and you shall not be underneath. And if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, I will charge you today to observe them carefully, and don't turn aside from any of the words which I command you today. Don't go to the right or the left, and to go after other gods, and to serve them. Now, the last step is guard yourself. Guard yourself. And let me look with you at two verses and tell you a little bit how to guard yourself. I do it every day. Every single day. Every single day. And it's not because I'm worried. It's not because I'm fearful. It's because God told me to. Okay? God told you to. You're supposed to guard yourself. 1 John 5. 18. We know that no one who is born of God sins. Now, this means continually sins. Stop sinning.
Yes, sir.
Stop sinning. You want to be guarded? Stop sinning. Anything that is not of faith is sin. Whoa. Wow. Ron, that's a high definition, isn't it? But he who is born of God guards himself, and the evil one does not touch him. Now let me tell you what some of the things you need to guard yourself from. This is my last statement for tonight. I do this every morning. I plead the blood over all of my family and connected family. I include Ron and Dale in that. I plead the blood of Jesus. I include Arlene. I include, include connected family that are close. And I plead the blood over everyone in the family against witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. And any subordinate spirits underneath witchcraft or divination or sorcery. Then I plead the blood over any oath or pledge or curse or hex or sign. Now in my generations, I had to break the Masonic curse. You have to watch if there is in your generations any organizations that have used oaths and pledges. Because it'll affect everyone in the generation. And so you need to cover yourself against any oath, any pledge, any curse, any sign, anything. And sometimes the Lord tells me that there's been a blood oath. Now, when there's a blood oath, that's a stronger, and you need to come strong against any blood oath, curse. Because, see, the Masons, for example, take an oath that they will die rather than tell the secrets of the Masons. But if there is a sacrifice of an animal, or especially if there's a sacrifice of a human being, somewhere in the generation. And see, this is why I cover myself against the covens in this area, because they will use curses on people and they will sacrifice. And yes, there is human sacrifice in the United States. When children disappear and never show up, there are a number of these where we don't know how many, but there are a number of these where these are used as human sacrifice. I have prayed over a couple of people who have said they witnessed babies being sacrificed. So you've got to cover yourself there. You've got to cover yourself against false spiritual prayers. False spiritual prayers are prayers that are led by demon spirits. That yes, Satanists pray. They fast. They fast and pray. And you've got to cover yourself against those kinds of prayers. You've got to cover yourself against soulish prayers. Soulish prayers are prayers that a lot of Christians pray when they pray their own will. They want their own will. And they ask God to do what they will. That's a soulish prayer. You have no business praying anything except what is God's will. And if you don't know God's will, be quiet until you know it. And don't be praying if it's your will prayers. It seems really to be really sanctimonious and holy if you pray if it's your will. And I used to do it all the time because I didn't know any better, because that's what I heard other people pray. But when you pray if it's your will, what you're really saying is you don't know the will of God, and so you throw the dice and, well, let's see. Oh, well, that person died. That was the will of God. No, they were healed. That was the will of God. Well, whatever happened, that was the will of God. That's fate. That's fate. That's not God. That has nothing to do with biblical praying. Biblical praying gets the will of God and believes the will of God and confesses the will of God, and the will of God is done. God doesn't even hear you when you pray unless you pray His will. I mean, He's not deaf, but I mean, He won't hear you. And then finally, what we have been talking about, I cover myself against every cosmic level spirit, every occult level spirit, every ground level spirit, every personal level spirit, every principality, power, might, dominion, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! And again, I don't do it because I'm afraid. I'm not afraid. But He told me to do it. And you need to do it. Praise God. Do it.